This chazar is a chenish b'chachas chashagav v'mir yehuda m'sechta chesubas afsamaches. The Gemara says Rabba would put money in a pouch over his shoulder. The poor people could then take the money without Rabba having to see them. Chanina would give 4 zuz to a certain ani every Friday. He once sent his wife to give it. She brought the money back and said they don't need it because she heard them discussing whether they should eat on silver or on gold. Chanina said, Rabba Loza said that we should thank such a person because such fakers are what allow us to hold back from giving tzedakah and not be punished for it. Abraisa said that someone fakes a condition or fakes poverty to try and collect from tzedakah, he will ultimately suffer from that condition that he faked. Mishnah says we don't require a pauper to sell his house or the kelim that he uses in order to have money. Abraisa says that one must sell his more expensive kelim and buy cheaper ones in order to avoid poverty. As Vid said, the Abraisa is discussing things like a bed or a table. The Mishnah is discussing things like cups and plates, which one can say that the cheaper ones are disgusting for him, and that's why we don't make him sell it. In fact, why can he say that a cheaper bed will also be disgusting to him? So Rava, the son of Rabba, said the Braisa requires him to sell things like a silver plow for a cheaper one. Other kelim and a chanami need not be sold. Our Papa said the Mishnah is discussing before Bezin begins to sell assets to return unlawful gains. The Braisa is discussing where Bezin is already involved in that activity. Zuck the Mishnah, if an orphan girl is married off by her mother or her brothers with her consent, and they wrote her a dowry of 150 zuz, and when she becomes an adult, she can go ahead and get what is truly befitting for her. Yehuda says, if the father had married off an older daughter while he was still alive, we should give a dowry to this daughter who's getting married now after the death in the same level that the older daughter got when the father was still alive. Now, Chum say that sometimes a person gets more money or less money, so we can't just decide to give whatever he gave in the past. Rather, we appraise the estate and give the next daughter the appropriate amount based on that. Zuck Gemar Shmuel said, to determine how much of a dowry to give an orphan, we assess how much the father would have given if he was still alive. Fekmar Bryce says that we support a daughter based on the estate and not based on what we think the father would have given. Presumably this refers to a dowry. This refers to regular support for the girl or eating, drinking, clothing, not to the dowry. Fekmar and Amisha the Acham said that since at times a person's financial status changes, we give the dowry based on the estate. This can't refer to actual financial status because if he gets poor, obviously he can't give the same dowry as when he was rich. Therefore, it must refer to when he becomes poor, meaning stingy in the way he gives. And still, we don't worry about what he would give and instead give based on the estate, which is not what Shmuel said. Where it says Shmuel will follow Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, who says that we follow what the father would have wanted. In fact, why doesn't he just say Allah follows Rabbi Yehuda? Where it says if he would have said that, we would think that Allah only follows him when the father actually married off a daughter already. He therefore teaches that the reason is based on the theory that we assessed of what the father would have wanted to give. Therefore, we would do so even if the father had not yet married off a daughter. The Rabbanon say that we don't follow an assessment of the father's will even if he had already married off a daughter. Rav Yosef Chista, can I say in your name that Allah follows Rabbi Yehuda? He said, I wish all great statements were said in my name like that. Abraisa says that Rebbe says that a daughter who is being supported by her father's estate gets a tenth of the estate for a dowry, and Rav passed him like Rebbe. So how can we say that different over here? Moses Rabbi Yehuda was talking about a case where he could assess the father's will. Rebbe was talking about a case where that was impossible to do for whatever reason. The Braisa just quoted brought a shita of Rebbe. The Braisa continues that they said to Rebbe, this would mean that if a person had 10 daughters, his sons would get nothing, because if you give a tenth every time, there's nothing left. Rebbe said, we take a tenth for the first daughter, a tenth of what's remaining for the second daughter, a tenth of what's remaining for the third daughter, and so on. We then take all those tenths that we took, pull them together, and the daughters would split them evenly. If I can remember, how did they pull it? They each took it at the time that they got married. It's not there anymore when the time the next daughter gets married. The Braisa says, we're talking about if they get married at the same time, they each take all those tenths, and then they put it together and they split it. Braisa says, Rebbe says, orphan girls who get married, whether already a begeris or not yet a begeris, lose the support from their father's estate, but continue to have the right to their dowry. Or Shimon Lazar says, if they are a begeris, they also lose the rights to a dowry. Therefore, they should see to get married before becoming a begeris. Rav Nachman said that Rav Huna told him that Allah follows Rebbe. Rebbe asked Rav Nachman, our Mishnah says that a minor girl can later go back and get her proper dowry when she becomes an adult. This suggests that an adult cannot, which is not like Rebbe said. Rav says Rebbe is referring to where the girl protested at the time of her marriage, which showed that she's not giving up her rights to a proper dowry. The Mishnah was discussing a case where she did not protest. Ravina said to Rava, the Rav Adar Bar Hava has said in your name that an orphan girl who became a begeris does not need to protest to keep her rights to a dowry. If the orphan got married as a naira, she also doesn't have to protest. If she became a begeris and got married, that's when she has to protest. Rava just said it before, that our Mishnah suggests that only a minor doesn't lose her dowry. And he then said that anyone older than a minor, even a naira, has to protest, different than we just learned over here. In other words, if she's being supported from the estate, she doesn't have to protest. If she's not, she has to protest to retain the rights to her dowry. Rav Huna, the name of Rebbe, said an orphan's dowry is not like something that's given as a stipulation of the ksuba, tanai ksuba. What's meant by this? What is that? It's not like a tanai ksuba. If it means that for a dowry we can collect from encumbered properties, mishubodim, but for stipulations of the ksuba, for tanai ksuba, we don't, that's something that that happens all the time, so it's obvious already. We wouldn't have to teach that. It can't mean that it also can't mean that a dowry may be collected from movable assets, whereas a tanai ksuba is only collected from karka, because Rebbe says in a braisa that both of these may be collected from metalton, from movable assets. Mar says what Rebbe meant is, like it says in a braisa, that if one says that he doesn't want his daughter supported by his estate, we don't listen to him. However, if he says that he doesn't want his daughters getting a dowry from his estate, we do listen to him, because a dowry is not like a stipulation in the ksuba.